This is the sound of the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, yes, Mandy Morton. She's what a professional she is. She's literally just arrived, hot-footed in. I've dragged her into the studio. Managed to get a glass of water though, Mandy, didn't you?
Absolutely. Should I have got you one as well?
No, I'm all right, thank you. Okay. I've got my tea and coffee. Well, it's nice to see you again. You've been away from Cambridge 105 Radio for too long. What have you been up to?
That's very kind of you. Basically, promoting books. That's what it's all about, really, this summer. We're calling it the Summer of Fluff Tour. bearing in mind the fact that no one that's bumped into my books before, I mean, they're very much about cats. So we thought that was a play on the Summer of Love. But yeah, big launches this week in, well, three counties in the next 2 weeks. So it's on the road and travelling. It's just like it used to be in my music days.
Well, yes. Did you ever think that you'd be touring again as an author? This is an unexpected second career for you.
No, third career, yes. No, not at all, not in the slightest. When I hung up my guitar strings back in the sort of early 80s, it was because of touring that I did that, because it enough was enough. I mean, after sort of 13 years of being on the road and not quite waking up in which town you thought, I mean, that's the thing, I gave up and threw my lot in with broadcasting. But never in a million years would I think that I would actually sit down long enough to write a book.
Well, congratulations, because these books have been very successful indeed. The latest one, Magical Mystery Pause, is published by Farrago. For those who haven't read the books, can you give us a little bit about what they're about and what this particular one is about?
Yeah, I mean, it's semi-autobiographical because I sort of grab something from my own life in each of the books, but it's an entire world of cats, no people at all, which is actually quite refreshing for me, I think.
What a nice world that would be, with a world of
well,
cats.
Yeah, but, and the interesting thing is that cats can be lovely, they can be cruel and vicious, calculating, they can be everything that the worst people in our societies can be, and they can be everything that the nicest people. So they just seem to be the perfect vehicle to put out these stories. So it's an imaginary 1970s, where, of course, I spent a lot of my time here in Cambridge, so always in my mind I'm thinking Mill Road area and things like that. The actual books are sort of the characters within the books, the lead characters who return each time. Hetty and Tilly run the number 2 feline detective agency. They are our own cats who sadly are no longer here, but what's fabulous is you can breathe life back into them again. In the process of writing the books, of course, other friends' cats have gone to the Elysian Fields in the sky. So some of them feature as regular characters too, but it's just a lovely way of actually playing with two worlds, our human world and the world of a cat.
And I know you love your cats and you always have cats. At what stage did you look at your cats and think, do you know what, I could write about these, turn them into characters?
When they died. That was the thing. I took a year off broadcasting after I stood down from the BBC after 26 years, goodness me. And it was the first winter. And the winter came on, and obviously in summertime I love my gardens and allotments and all of that. And the winter came on, and I just suddenly sat at my desk one day, no editing to do, no interviews particularly that I was bothered about, and thought, oh, so what happens for the next 6 months while I sit and freeze in the winter? And for some unknown reason, the first paragraph arrived, and that was it. Also, at the time, I was very keen to raise some money for the Blue Cross animal charity. We have a fabulous cat rehoming centre here in Cambridge that I do a lot of work for. And I thought, well, this is great. I'll self-publish. I don't want any of the razzmatazz of the publishing industry or anything that goes with it. I'll create a nice little book and sell it on their behalf. And that's exactly what I did. But lo and behold, a publisher picked it up. So then I was sort of bucketed into the real world of publishing, which means deadlines and all the manners that go with it, and tours like I'm doing at the moment. So that's really how it sort of showed itself. But the ongoing thing is that the total that we're raising goes up and up at the Blue Cross. It's always lovely there. They put me in the magazine at Christmas now and all that sort of stuff. So it's job done there. But of course I have to come up with a new story at least once a year, if not twice.
Well, I was going to say, this is the sixth in the series, is that right?
Yeah.
So yes, what started out as a little idea on a board, wet and cold.
It's the story of my life, isn't it? You know, I sang one song at a folk club and had 13 years of professional music career, so there we go.
Oh, well, you should have known while you were letting yourself. But those have been massively successful, Maddie. I mean, that must be so rewarding.
It is absolutely lovely, and particularly as the books are quite satirical. So you can take them at face value and go, ah, isn't this cute, isn't this cosy, until you come to a murder. And then you think, oh, ouch, that's not quite as cosy as I thought this book was going to be. And so what's lovely is that the more people become aware of the books, the more they take them on those two levels, because I tackle some quite hard-hitting issues. I mean, like euthanasia, homelessness, of course. So there's a lot of homeless cats out there, and they're not necessarily all with fur and whiskers. Blending in that little bit of biographical thread, because they always say that you should write about what you know. And I've had an absolute ball with Magical Mystery Pause, because it very much relates to my touring years with the band. And I've given Hetty all my thoughts in this book about what it's like to be on tour, particularly in the 1970s, when you didn't have the razzmatazz of fabulous tour buses and everybody looking after you. It was the way the Beatles started, you know, in an old van racing up and down the motorway.
Oh, bless her, and Hetty's living on in the books. That's nice for you as well.
Of course,
of course. So who are the books aimed at? Because people think cats, they might think children, but as you say, you're tackling...
Yeah, anything from 12 years up, I think, because they do smoke quite a lot of catnip in the book. it's always a delight to have a sort of 13 or 14-year-old come up for a book signing to say this is their favourite book of all time. I don't suppose it's any crueler than things like Harry Potter, really, when it comes down to it. But essentially, it's also quite tongue-in-cheek for very grown-up people who will get a lot of the nuances, I think, within the book as well, some of which are quite outrageous.
And as you say, the cats that inspired it, they've gone to the big litter tray in the sky, but you've got new cats now. Are they featuring in the books?
Yeah, well, sadly, we lost Molly Bloom last October. She has not been replaced, but we have a new incoming person who is called Betsy Trotwood. So we have her at the moment. She's a four-year-old and driving us mad, because we usually adopt elderly pussycats, but she came to the RSPCA in a very bad state, so we decided that we'd go with that one. But Molly Bloom we adopted when she was getting on a bit from the Blue Cross, and although I couldn't bear to include her in this book because obviously the grief sets in, she will be having a starring role in the next one along from this one. So, and I've even decided what she's going to do in the book, and she will be a regular stock character as well.
And what an industrious household it must be, because, you know, your partner Nicola, she's a writer as well. She's got deadlines. Deadlines ever crash?
No, we try not to. We try, both of us, to write in the winter with the best will in the world, but then our publishers want us to promote the books, so they come out at different times of the year. And Nicola had a very busy autumn and Christmas time because of Nine Lessons and based here in Cambridge, etc. But this time round, she has just delivered her brand new book, which won't be out, of course, for another 18 months or so. And my book arrived on the doorstep this week as a finished copy. So actually, there's been much celebration in the house. She's got rid of her manuscript, and then it goes into process. And mine has actually arrived as a book. So there's always something going on. And of course, we do now do some events together. We call it Malice Domestic, because we both help each other out with the books. We do lots of research, travelling away all over the place, particularly for Nicola's books, because they have to be very heavily researched, because she bases them in the 20s and 30s.
And so, speaking of events, you've got an event this Thursday at Heffers.
Yes, indeed. We have a Heffers launch on Thursday evening. Everybody's welcome at 6:30. If you go online to the Heffers events page and click on the Magical Mystery Pause launcher, you can come along, have a glass of wine and a packet of crisps with us, which would be very lovely. Or alternatively, you can go into the shop and they'll just put your name down, but it's absolutely free. Lots of lovely people coming, and it'll just be a nice way to start the books, because we're launching in Suffolk in Felixstowe on Friday, and then the following Saturday in Penzance, where of course we spend a lot of time in Cornwall too. So three launches. I should be on my knees after that.
I love the fact you're launching Felixstowe.
Oh, and I'm doing the Tuesday show next week as well.
Oh,
it would appear. Yes, indeed.
Oh, so, you're back. Hurrah! We've
just
got you back.
For one day only. Until the autumn. Anymore.
And you've got the book in front of you.
Yes.
You're going to read a little bit for it.
Yes, if you'd like me
to.
Yes. Are you?
We can hold the traffic and travel for a couple of minutes.
It's about 4 minutes, this reading.
Yeah, go
for
it.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
Right. Let me set the scene. It's a boiling hot day in the book. It's a boiling hot day now. And Hetty and Tilly are sitting in the garden of their landladies. That's the Butters, who run the bakery in the books. And Popper Fiend, their friend, the black and white cat, has just arrived for afternoon tea. tea with them with some very exciting news. So here we go. The black and white cat threw himself onto a lush patch of lawn, and Tilly handed him the last of the ham rolls. Popper Fiend was the town's plumber, and a very fine one at that, but he had been a friend to Hetty for more years than either of them could remember, mostly due to the haze of catnip that they'd lived through during Hetty's professional music career, when Popper was her roadie and constant companion. When Hetty had finally decided to hang up a guitar, Popper had started a lucrative plumbing business from his houseboat on the river and supplied an extra pair of paws, when required, to his friend's detective business. "What do you mean by an adventure?" asked Hetty, scraping some patisserie cream off her fur. Popper poked the final piece of ham roll into his mouth and chewed slowly, as if thinking of a good place to start. Tilly moved forward on her deck chair, while Bruiser pulled up an upturned bucket and settled himself down between her and Hetty. Seeing that his audience was waiting patiently, Popper began. "Well, I got myself in a bit of a fix, really. I've been doing some running round for Patty Sniff lately. She's been in Tabby Road recording her latest album with her new band, the Cheese Triangles." Tilly stifled a giggle as Popper continued. "Anyway, as you probably know, Patty is blind. That's why she's called Patty Sniff. Her real name is Fiona Foxglove, and she's been off the road for a bit on account of her creative juices drying up. She was quite something in her bin bag days, but there don't seem to be much interest in cat punk anymore."
"You mean she can't get any gigs?" interrupted Hetty.
"Yeah, that's about the size of it. The new album is make or break for her, but she's got to go on tour or she's dead in the water. That's where I come in. I've put some dates together, but the venues wouldn't take her on her own, so I've had to add a few acts to bulk things out a bit. Like a touring party, really. We're calling it the Summer of Fluff Tour."
Tilly was now on the very edge of her seat with excitement and preempted Hetty by jumping in with both front paws.
"And you'd like us to help with the tour?"
"Well, let's just put it this way. I have a number of senior tour personnel to engage, and I thought this would be right up your street."
Tilly clapped her paws together and danced round her deck chair as Hetty aired a cautious note.
"What sort of things would you need us to do?"
"Well, I need a bus driver, so that'd be good for Bruiser. I've hired a single-decker charabang from Psycho Derek. He's doing the warm-up bit on tour, calling himself Magical Mystery Paws, some sort of illusionist. I had to take him on because he comes with a bus. Then I'll need costume and backstage production, and I thought Tilly might be good at that. A steady pair of paws is just what's needed."
Tilly could hardly contain herself in spite of the heat. She felt the urge to skip round the butter's lawn, kicking up the dust storm as she went. Bruiser looked pleased and was keen to find out more, but Hetty needed further convincing.
"So what have you got in mind for me?" she asked.
"Oh, the top job, of course," responded Popper, knowing that an ego massage was the only way to go with his old friend. "Let's face it," he continued, "no one knows the road like you do. All these tours we did, all those scrapes we got in and out of, breakdowns, weather, power cuts, we had the lot. I want to put you in charge of the whole thing. Who else could do the job?"
Hetty suddenly felt flooded with a new sense of purpose. Her music days had brought her great joy. She'd been reasonably successful with her band, and she sometimes missed the call of the open road. But there was so much more to be discussed before she was ready to nail her colours to the Summer of Fluff mast.
"So, we've got Patty Sniff and the Cheese Triangles. I'm assuming there are three of them besides Patty."
Popper nodded.
"Then we've got Psycho Derek doing magic tricks, parading himself as Magical Mystery Paws. Does he have an assistant?"
"Belisha Beacon," offered Popper. "She works in the cafe at Tabby Road Studios when she's not on crossing patrol, but Derek's taken a fancy to her, so she's coming along for the ride."
"So we've got six performers to look after," said Hetty.
"Well, that shouldn't be too bad."
"Ah," said Popper. "Then there's the Irish dance troupe."
"The what?" exclaimed Hetty.
"Kitty O'Shea's Irish Dancers, all the way from Donegal. There's six of them, plus Bouba, their French dance mistress. They're straight from a season of Riverdance. There used to be seven, but one of them drowned in the grand finale."
Tabby Road, I like it. Tabby Road, and some, you must have some great fun, Mandy, with these names.
Absolutely, like the names in the books are things that are my favourite thing to make up. I mean, Belisha Beacon, what's not to like?
No, it's not to like. Well, that is Magical Mystery Paws, published by Farrago. The launch, as Mandy was saying, is at Heffers this Thursday. Go onto the Heffers website if you want to come along, or just pop into the shop and put your name down. Lovely to see you again.
Great to
Mandy.
See you.
I must say, and as you well know, it's now time for this.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.